in office, by the way, just to clarify.
So
council time on May 9th.
Thank you. So let's each identify ourselves so we know who the people are that are here, because we're short two people from the council. So Jeannie Stewart.
Julie Olson.
John Blum.
Thank you. And we'll go into old business, approval of the minutes, and we have two sets of minutes to approve. So the minutes of April 25th, do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The minutes of May 2nd.
Move to approve.
Second.
All aye. In favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. New business.
Hope we've got one more on old business.
Oh, wait a minute. I want to go to SR 500. So it's our favorite topic. So these are some of the options that have been proposed by WSDOT. There have been a series of meetings. This is a temporary interim. That's like temporary fix. There's going to be a lot of diversionary traffic, both down to Fourth Plain, and it will, depending on which fix is used, it will isolate neighborhoods on the north that are on the county side. I went to the open house last week. The neighbors on the south side, it's high density, very low income. Not very many of those folks came, but the folks that are north of SR 500 are in the Vancouver urban growth boundary, but unincorporated. And John, the problems are going to go over, basically just stack up at 205. So, and that's a boundary we share. So I've talked to Chris Strickler and others. I'm planning a meeting with Strickler, Mark Bolt, Anna Ogle, some of our transportation people, to talk to them. That's cutting to the chase. Julie has it on the last page. And this is the RTC Transportation Improvement Plan that was just approved at the last meeting. And the areas that are circled show other longer-term fixes, but they're 17 years out, at least. And so there's a lot of concern that the problem is pretty much critical right now. And so there's still a lot of discussion going on about this. At the open house, Ms. Perez, who is leading this project for WSDOT, indicated to the people that the only options are one of these three options. So people are not accepting that, because there's really no fix. It's either completely isolate, cul-de-sac those two streets. They're very busy streets. Actually, they don't have a traffic count for these streets. Or if they have it, they've not been able to produce it yet. So this is getting to be at the critical decision point. I want to meet with people because part of the problem is that our WSDOT region, as the recession came in, basically got unfunded like a lot of regions did. And their level of funding is not increasing as fast as the recession is receding. So I think part of this might be to talk to the legislators about helping fund what is a critical project. There aren't a lot of other east-west options here. City of Vancouver is very worried about diversionary traffic going on to Fourth Plain. It is a safety corridor in this whole section over to Andreessen. They have a very high rate of car accidents, and their worst worry is it's the highest rate of vehicle pedestrian accidents and deaths. So more diversionary traffic that's irritated because they can't go to SR 500 to either go east or west. One of these shows cars doing U-turns and going back and going up over the ramp and coming back down to go east. It's going to be really frustrating for drivers.
Have they decided? There's three concepts here.
That's one of the things and why it's on the council time agenda. So Judith Perez reached out to the council's office and said that they would like 15 to 20 minutes with the council. Last time we had an update from them regarding the SR 500 project, they came into council time and provided a short presentation. So the question is whether or not we want to schedule them for a 30-minute work session or whether we want to have them come into council time or no update at all. It's up to you. So that's the question.
I don't think we should say no update.
I think we need an update. I think we need to have a voice as much as we can. I'd be curious about what public process they're going to use to make a decision on what concept they choose. And
I know they've reached out through the neighborhood associations and they've gone to the neighborhood association meetings. They've had some surveys, but more detail than that, we need to ask them.
Yeah, because I don't want to get into a revisit of a lack of communication from MassDOT and then have major problems when the time comes for the project to be started.
They're working very hard on communication. I'm concerned that they are primarily taking information from people who responded to the survey. So they mailed out information that people could go online. But the only location they mailed those out in is this specific area to the north and south. So those aren't the only people who use SR 500. And right. So the other question is...
Right. That's the biggest issue.
Yes. So we can keep the SR 500 traffic rolling. And... there's no crossing, so it's right in, right out. They'll have to make special lanes for the right in, right out, so people can get up to the 70 miles an hour the other people are going. But what they're not seeming to think about is when it gets closer to Vancouver Mall and Andreessen, the on-ramps, the off-ramps, there won't be any intervals in the traffic like are caused now by the stoplights. So, and then when you get down to Fourth Plain and SR 503, it's...
So I would support at least council time, but I would support a work session if that's what... I mean, just for an update.
I think if we're going to do that, I think we should do that, but we need to come and have our own people having looked at the impact of county roads, because when you look at these three options, the decision's made, I feel like. I mean, you have cutting off all access, which that's going to be probably a non-starter for them. You have this almost ridiculously complicated U-turn, multi-light, adding more complexity, and so then you're left with the third option, the right in, right out, which, you know, looks like the best option by comparison to these other two ideas. So I think the idea that we're going to have a lot of, they're going to listen to much of what we have to say in terms of these three options is probably not likely, but where I think we can have a voice for the people that's going to impact is, okay, what's the impact going to be? What improvements are we going to need to make on, I think it's 40th Street, 42nd Street, that's just north of here, that's going to be a major diversionary.
Exactly.
So say, okay, you know, we understand that there's no build is probably not an option because of the danger of 500 and the challenges that made them look at this in the first place. But by doing this obviously preferred, you know, likely preferred option of right in, right out, what's the impact on our roads, and are there dollars to help mitigate the impact? I mean, 42nd doesn't even have a sidewalk or a shoulder through a good chunk of that lane.
And 40th is the same way.
Yeah.
And there is no shoulder. It's like the road and a ditch.
I don't want to be controlled by their process of, you know, they came
exactly.
in and said, we're just studying this. They didn't put this together in the time since they came and talked to us. This was already in the works before they talked to us.
That's the other concern.
I don't want to just be led down the stream by them if they have a pre-done plan. So let's come in and say, okay, if you're going to do this, here's the impact to our neighborhood. So what dollars are there? How can you help us get funding to mitigate the impact on our roads from you fixing your road?
So, and I'm trying to not approach it from just a county standpoint. It's going to take some team communication and understand what the city's problems are.
Well, they're going to have the same problems on the other side of the road.
Exactly.
So less so, though, because they have Fourth Plain just south of there. So they have Fourth Plain that's a four-lane road with a BRT, and we have essentially a county road. I mean, 40th is a two-lane road with no shoulder, no center turn lane, no sidewalks.
And my point is, though, John, this really needs a bigger fix, and we can't wait 17 years for the bigger fix. So that is an issue that we'll have to work with the other jurisdictions on and have cooperation and consistency with what we're asking for.
And I think that's the second step of,
yes.
we have, this is likely going to happen in some fashion.
Yes.
And I think we all kind of agree where it's going.
Yeah.
But yes, and second, okay, what is the longer term?
And so I don't even know, because part of it is drainage around 40th, and the street itself right now isn't in good condition, according to several of the people who came to the open house. So we need to still talk about it. I just talked to Chris Strickler. He asked a question about, there is an availability right now of a grant. They're eligible right now for a bike pedestrian design funds. It's a grant for design. And that's available now. They have until Friday to commit to that. I just was on the phone with them just now. And I told him I wouldn't discourage him from seeking design funds. But they should be design funds, I would think, for a broader, longer-range fix.
So I would be in favor of work session, but also of having our staff come in and present back to them what's the impact on our roads.
Okay. We'll make sure that you have that before the work session.
Is there a timeline that the WSDOT Executive Committee is going to be making decisions such that...
I asked Chris that, and I did not get a specific answer about that. He knows that the City of Vancouver, Clark County, we've asked him to come to a meeting, Strickler himself, and a host of other people that Mark and I want to sit down and talk to see if we have, especially with the city, because it won't do us any good where all the cost is going to be us, not to work with the city to try to look for longer-term solutions. And Ann Ogle is on the executive committee. I think we're kind of full of ourselves to call the executive committee. So... But, John, you're right. We should get firsthand from our folks what the implications are cost-wise and scheduling-wise and otherwise. But the other thing we really, I think it's like a dual path. They're going to do something there because it's a high accident corridor. But a longer-term fix is important, so I think we need to start seeing what we can do legislative-wise to work with the City of Vancouver, Clark County, WSDOT, and get us all on the same page. So does, we don't have any objection to him looking for bike pedestrian grant money.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not for me.
I told him as long as...
As long as we have a complete streets ordinance. But not for me.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's pretty much it. If we can have Heath and John, do you specifically know who in our transportation, or just leave it in
yeah.
Heath sounds
yeah,
like
you guys can manage it. Confidence.
And find out about what would need to be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other, there are some other implications too. So Stapleton Road has the bus barn for Vancouver School District, and Truman Elementary School is just to the north off Falk Road. I know it's an old school, but it serves a pretty broad area. So there are so many complications because... and I think we can't underestimate the amount of diversionary traffic. And Vancouver's talking about that, too, because, of course, Fourth Plain is going to be... So, anyway, we see how complex it is. We'll get more information internally. Okay. Any other points on that, John? Julie?
Sounds good.
Okay, let's go on to new business.
We have some staff members here from DCS that will briefly summarize the staff report in front of you.
So just as a really quick background why they're here, so there's the proposed code change that came from the Community Action Board, and because it's new, Jim suggested that they come to describe what it is that they're looking to do, so it's not completely new and out of the blue.
Okay.
Yeah,
welcome.
You want to go or do you want to do it?
So I'm staff to the Community Action Advisory Board. It's a required board for Clark County, and there's a code that's been on the books for quite a while. And the code states that we be a 9-member advisory board, but we are looking to increase the number of members on the advisory board to come into line with the new council districts so that we have representation from each of the districts throughout the county.
So we'll go from 9 to 12, because you're going from 3 districts to 4 districts.
And who literally would be added to that? Are you looking at other councilors? Are you looking at who would be the representatives, of those new representatives?
So we're required to have representation from community members, from elected officials, and from low-income representatives throughout for each of the districts. So we would add one from... One of those categories.
And the elected officials is broad, as any public official is elected. So it includes tribes, it includes school districts, it includes
cemetery districts,
judges. And we, when we do recruiting, we canvas, send mailings out to the elected representatives so they can apply to the board.
Sounds very good idea, supportive of it. Only question, so on the joint task force that we have going with the city on homelessness, one of the conversations has been we have all of these different boards that all, to some extent, control funding, and how can we better coordinate? Do you anticipate that there could be other changes? Do we want to wait and see at all where that conversation goes, or is that just totally different?
The City of Vancouver already has an appointed position on the Community Action Advisory Board. So they already have representation there at all times.
Okay. Yeah, I don't anticipate the composition of the CAB changing out of that effort, because it's already required by federal law to be a tripartite board. So the composition is basically established, the geographic representation in the county is basically established. The City of Vancouver already has an elected representative that's appointed to the board and has a permanent position, and they do have staff that come to every meeting. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are some process things that may change for what the CAB does or how they do it in regards to funding those programs. But composition, things that would affect the county ordinance, I don't anticipate that.
So, Michael.
Thank you.
Clark County, as an entity, has access to a certain level of block grant money and home money from the federal government.
Correct.
Grants. The city of Vancouver has almost an equal amount of block grant money they get just for the city.
Correct.
So we no longer have the combined program. So do we have somebody from the county that sits on their dollars, on their committee? So they sit on our committee and influence our funds. So how do we influence their funds also?
Well, so this specific group, we're talking of different block grant. This is a community services block grant, not the community development block grant. So the funds that this group oversees are the CSPG dollars, community services block grant, the document recording fees, human service funds. The community development block grant and the home is overseen by the Urban County Policy Board, which the City of Vancouver does not have representation on. They do have staff that regularly come to the meetings, but those are elected representatives of each of the cities outside of Vancouver or their designated representative that works on those. As far as the City of Vancouver's process when they allocate funds for home or CDBG, we do not have any permanent position. They have a very different system. They don't have an Urban County Policy Board. It's a standing group of elected representatives. They invite community participants to be kind of a committee, more of an ad hoc committee that chooses. You're familiar with that process. And at times, county staff is invited to participate, and at times not. It really depends on them.
Does Vancouver have access to CSBG money?
No.
Okay, so this program is specifically for
correct.
And what? How is any of that money used to Vancouver's benefit? Are they included under the umbrella of that money?
Correct. The geographic area that's covered by that those funds serve is the entire county.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone that's currently on the 9-member board that by virtue of going to 12 and these districts wouldn't be able to continue to serve?
No.
Okay.
So in the revision of the ordinance, do you have that in front of you? If we go down to line 32.
Oh, I don't have the ordinance in front of me. I apologize. I don't think I do. I had the staff report.
So I can. This is under duties. So the ordinance number.
Mm-hmm.
Which page? Line 32.
Line 32.
Okay.
The participate in and approve.
It's under 2.57.030 duties, and it's item number B.
Letter B.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the wording originally was develop and recommend to the Board of County Commissioners, well, we can say council now, an annual priorities plan for the Community Action Program. This is now revised to say participate in and approve a community needs assessment conducted every 3 years. Tell me where the ability and role now is of the council to guide and approve. If we take out that it's a recommendation to us and we accept it, how has that changed? Because I think I would want that to continue to be the same. Explain to me why it's.
Sure. The main change there is the periodicity from annual to 3 years, and that's based on the federal requirement that we have to produce the community needs assessment needs to be done every 3 years. So that's the rotation through which we have it in. We are overseen by the State Department of Commerce in complying with those, they call it organizational standards, but the federal requirements that cover the CSBG funding, and they require the advisory, the Community Action Advisory Board to participate in and approve the community needs assessment that is produced. It isn't a policy document. It's strictly a survey. It's data on low-income households saying what their needs are, and then that information is one of the things that is used when we develop the request for applications for the funding, and that does come to the council for approval.
So, Councillor Stewart, if you look on lines 17 and 18 under the purpose, the subsection A, it actually calls out there that the committee advise and make recommendations to the county councillors.
So other than changing that from commissioners to councillors, you're saying that the language in 32B was it's unnecessary.
I would agree.
I see, yes. Okay. Any other questions about that?
I might recommend a very minor change, just because under the charter, the county manager presents to the council who should be on the boards, and then they approve or reject. So it would just be a very minor change to that.
Okay.
Very good right there. Okay. Is unless the statute says something different?
I
can talk to Amanda.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like the wording itself.
Like it might just be. Well, this is from the old language when it used to be that the board did that. Where's the language? There's something about. Maybe I'm not looking at the right section. The one that talks about who gets appointed. I might talk to.
Amanda. Oh, where it talks about the 9 members.
Yeah.
I think it's a little further down.
I might.
So
who shall be it's appointed, but the language in the charter, so I'm changing some of the wordings in a lot of the different things, so I might recommend a slightly different language.
Okay.
What line is that?
That's 52 of 257040.
And
it's really just to be compliant with the words in the charter. It doesn't change anything.
And that is the process. We send it to Alyssa. We actually have the appointed member from the City of Vancouver going through the final process, and it goes to Alyssa, and Alyssa takes it to the county manager, and then it comes to you guys.
Right.
So you will make those changes in the next draft?
I'll just send it on to Amanda to be just a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, I think we're through with this. Correct, John?
Thank
okay,
you.
Great. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Counselor reports.
She's here for the work session request.
Well, do we want to do that and let her go?
If you'd like.
I'm just thinking she's... We have somebody here who's got a work session request. I'm just wondering if we should do that before we do council reports.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Well, it would be okay if I could hear my
ears. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so we have somebody who's here for a work session request.
Okay,
and I'm just thinking
great.
Maybe we just have her up here and
you
ask.
You can give us a rundown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Julie.
So there has been a legislative change that affects the revenue structure for Fund 1022, which is the fund that pays for victim assistance services. So this is crime victims who have been impacted by a crime that's committed. They're entitled to advocacy and to have their rights protected. So there's some changes to that revenue stream that I think will have a positive impact on the county, but the prosecutor wanted to bring that before the board in a work session to kind of talk about what that was, and there are some things that he just wanted the council to know about and be able to pick up the speed on that and know that he has your support
in honoring the intent of this new legislation. So that's, in a nutshell, what the request is.
My understanding, it won't require a code change.
No, it should not.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to, for a change to get some good news.
Yeah.
So I'm welcome. Please. So I would be in support of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. We'll have that work session. Do you have just a rough time frame when you'd like to bring that to us?
Yeah, we were looking around the May 30th would be desirable.
It's going to be, unless we're going to do something out of the box, June.
Oh.
Yeah, we already have one that day.
Can it
well,
be
maybe
early
we can get
June?
We'll get the calendars figured out.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. I think June would be fine as well. I just don't think that we had availability prior to May 30th. So.
Okay. All right. Great.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Appreciate
thank you.
Thank you.
So, anything in councilor reports? Not today?
I do, actually.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
okay.
So I just wanted to have just a couple follow-up points from the work session yesterday. We talked about scheduling a hearing, but we didn't talk about the date. So I would hope that we would do that on the Tuesday night meeting, June, I think it's June 5th.
What was the issue?
Fireworks. The work session yesterday.
How can we forget?
So if there's no objection to that, I would hope we would do it where more people could attend and provide input.
With recommendations?
I would hope, and that would be that's my second question on that, is what was settled on yesterday, to my recollection, was the draft ordinance would include 4 days of fireworks sale and 2 days of discharge.
Yes. I think John's working on some potential language that could allow for a weekend sale. So we're still in discussion
with
that.
Yeah, it's chaos. But anyway, I wanted just to bring up that currently, south of 219th Street, we allow fireworks on July 4th only from 9 a.m. to midnight. And that follows the 2013 advisory vote, which passed 60.3% in favor of limiting fireworks to July 4th every year and limit the sale of fireworks in the same area to July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So if we are only going to consider an ordinance that has 2 days of just discharge, then we are really going backwards from what the prior commission and councils have done based on this advisory vote in the areas south of 219th Street.
So was that vote only taken in the... It was countywide?
It was countywide vote, yeah.
That's
in 2013.
Important to know.
Yeah. So my question is, for the folks that are here, and I'm sorry the other two councilors aren't, is, one, would we like John to bring... Or we can change that at the time... but I just want to make sure that everybody understands that that was the decision that was made yesterday in terms of what draft ordinance would be drawn up. And that.
But this information wasn't included in that communication, and I wasn't here when that vote was taken, so I'd forgotten that of that was by advisory vote.
So I guess my question would be, if we wanted John to add an option B, which would allow sales on one day only on the 4th of July, and we can deliberate on that in the public hearing,
Sales one day only or discharge one day only?
I'm sorry, discharge one day only. I apologize. Discharge one day only, and we deliberate on that versus 2 days.
I'd be supportive of that.
In light of what that particular part of the county has said for years, which is the most urban part of the county.
And are you talking, I think whatever we do should be countywide.
Yes, 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 yes. But if we go with 2 days countywide, we're going backwards on what we've done in the urban areas.
I think I'm not going to weigh in right now on what we want that to look like. I think we need to get back together. That is crucial to overrule by our authority the results of an advisory vote is problematic. I think we need to talk about that in the next
council time. Maybe we can talk
about
it again next week.
Yes.
Because I've got a couple issues with kind of the way this process took place. That particular agreement, however that was made. You know, we have in the work session yesterday, because John wasn't there, my thought was that we would consider a couple different draft ordinances that we would then take to public hearing, have a public deliberation of, based on input from the public, and then have some considerations of how we would settle. It very quickly got to one option, and my concern was that, in fact, I think I said, I don't know that we should deliberate and make decisions here, because it's not the right place in a work session to do that, but it quickly got settled into one option. And it looks like that the decision's already been made, and that whatever additional input we get is meaningless, and I would hope that that's not the case. The other thing is, you know, when we have a stakeholder process, which we had in this case, and we have in a variety of cases, here, and I'll say this to him next week when he's here, but Mark had a side meeting with the fireworks industry, made a deal with them on the 4 days and the 2 days, and then lobbied counselors, and we got to where we are today.
Well, he didn't lobby me. I just want to be clear on that.
Yeah, I didn't discuss it with them at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we get to, you know, again, we get to one option. And if we're having a stakeholder process, side meetings to me just seem to be a perversion of the process. And that if we're going to take input, we should take input. And
it's not unusual for people in an industry to come to individual counselors.
I understand.
We
yep.
all have
yep.
that
yep.
happen.
Yep. So anyway,
and it's not forbidden, and it's not.
I didn't say
improper.
It was forbidden. Well, okay. I would suggest that it's, if we have a stakeholder process, then we should have that process. But to make clearly make a side deal with an interest group.
I think you're going overboard, and I don't think it's fair to say that.
Okay, that's your opinion. I have a different opinion. So.
Well, I don't have evidence to that.
Okay,
so
that's fine.
I'm saying it's not unusual for somebody who has a financial interest in something to go to individual counselors to get what they want. So that happens all the time.
So I guess my question would be then, with regard to the ordinance itself, if we want to go ahead and have a couple options in terms of the days for discharge.
So do you want to talk about this again next week at council time, or do you just want John Dunaway to add a couple options?
I'd like all the council to be together, not necessarily in board time, to talk about the impact of those advisory votes. Julie, what year was that?
2013.
Were there other advisory votes about fireworks at that time that people...
Just
so that's it. And is that the only time, because Medora and Milky did a lot of advisory votes, I don't think I even have the list, is that the only advisory vote that was ever taken on anything related to fireworks, as far as you know?
In the last 10 years, as
okay.
far as I know.
So I think we need to talk about the implication of that, because I don't think we can ignore that vote happened. Mm-hmm. We need to understand what the implications of overriding that would be.
Okay. And we'll put on next week's council time.
Yeah.
But, whether it's a second option, second ordinance, or just a change that we make, or have the option to make that change, I mean, I think that that's...
Well, John can prepare two ordinances, one that would allow discharge on the third and fourth, and one that would allow the fourth. And the council could choose which one to approve in a hearing.
Yeah,
you could go that route. Right.
When you say he's preparing two ordinances, to me it sounds like they're drastically different things, and you're probably changing two words.
No,
so
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. We need to have two copies of an ordinance, or can we just have, I don't know, one copy
potential
and say this line right here could be written one of two ways.
Yeah. Functionally, that way you have two different numbers. So that it's just clear we're approving ordinance 1234 versus 1235.
Rather than an amended one.
Yeah, just administratively easier.
And the other piece of communication that we need to do is other cities are watching what we're doing, and I don't want them to not understand what we're doing as we go along, even if they have their own separate rules. It looks like we're going down a certain path now, so we would want to let other jurisdictions know that we're going to have some more conversation about this. Do you have something to add on this matter?
Well, I did have a conversation with the I did have a conversation with John Dunaway today, and there was some questions about the direction that he wanted us to go, and I heard you talking about fireworks, so I thought maybe I'd sit down and try to get an idea of where the clarification needed to be had, because they're going to start drafting the documents fairly soon. There's an intent by John to reach out to all of the cities within the bounds of Clark County to find out which direction they're going, and to also report on the direction that he was given at the work session, because I know that some of them are waiting to sort of see what Clark County does before they decide exactly what they want to do. But the point that I think you just brought up, I don't think that that was a point of lack of clarity. My understanding from John's understanding of the conversation was that it's a 4-2 issue, 4 days of sales, 2 days of use, but then there was a secondary, and this is where the lack of clarification was, or lack of clarity was. There was mention of we want to sell on weekends, and sometimes the sell period might need to be extended depending on where July 4th fell. And so he wasn't very clear on whether it's a simple 4-2 or if it could be up to a 7. Because if July 4th falls on a Friday and you want to include the prior weekend, it can include up to 7 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for sales. And so depending maybe on how many ordinances you want to come back with.
If we, with all five here next week, obviously we're going to have the discussion, so maybe John can sort of prepare, here's what I know I've heard,
yes,
and here's the question blocks that I still have, and get clarification next week.
Okay, because, yeah.
I'm just trying to understand how, clearly this is just for later discussion, but I'm trying to understand how a 4-day sale, except we have to add a weekend, helps clarify the process when it just adds more confusion to the process, which is part of why we're having this conversation in the first place. So the whole weekend thing, I think, is a bit of a red herring, because most sales are on the 3rd and 4th anyway.
But which is why we were going to come back with alternate provisions to see what the council was actually looking for, because that wasn't, again, there was some lack of clarity with whether it's a 4-2 or there was some mechanism that was going to operate for the next 5 to 10 years, depending on when July 4th fell during the week. So we were going to come back with options to see what you were actually.
But then we did, I don't know if you probably missed the other conversation we just had about the advisory vote that was taken in 2013, and the fact that already south of 219th Street, we're down to 1 day of discharge.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to 2 days now, mm-hmm, that's a complete contradiction of what that
doubles
of what that advisory vote. But you know,
and John mentioned that in our meeting, is that at this point we only allow 1 day of ignition at in certain areas of the county.
Right.
Now we're proposing to another day.
So we just asked that he prepare two mm-hmm draft ordinances, one with
I'll
one day
sure
and one
clear
with 2 days. Yeah.
Okay.
But otherwise, should be identical. Just one would allow discharge 3rd and 4th, one would allow it only on the 4th. But otherwise, substantively would be
it. Well, and then we would need some direction regarding whether you want some mechanism for handling when July 4th fell, if we include the preceding weekend, or if
well,
you're strictly
I think that's
going to go 4-2.
We did
yeah
not finish that conversation in the work session yesterday.
Right.
We opened it. It was too close to the end of the work session. And the idea of the weekend sales are the majority of sales always are on the weekend.
I don't believe that's
traditionally
accurate. The majority of sales are on the 3rd and the 4th.
Well, I'm going by information I had during 12 years on the Vancouver City Council, where we talked about fireworks
well
ad nauseum.
And actually speaking, I think the clarity was whether we're going with a 4-2 or if we're going with some mechanism that handles preceding weekends and then the 2 days of ignition, or 1 day.
What's our notification period for an ordinance? Is it 7 or 21 days?
Are you talking about an emergency ordinance or
no,
ordinance?
Just regular ordinance?
10, 15.
So you'd have to vote on it by ideally the 17th of June.
Yeah. And we're going to try to get it something to you for consideration to try to get it in at the end of May, I believe, just in case there's some want for clarification, and maybe we can set it a little bit further down
well
the road.
So I think that we should have the hearing the evening, Tuesday
June 5th.
Evening, mm-hmm, as Councilor Olson suggested earlier, but not have the goal in mind of having a final. I don't think we need to have four copies of the ordinance. I think this conversation should happen in a public hearing setting, not in council time, because it should happen. It shouldn't have happened in a work session yesterday. It should happen in a hearing where there is as much visibility and clarity on the process. And then if we, whatever we come to on the 5th, what day was the 5th, we still have our 10-day period to get that passed before 4th of July, if there are changes that are
June
agreed on by everyone.
I think. June 28th is
that the, okay.
Yeah.
Right, it has to be.
We have to have that 1 year in advance.
Right.
So that still gives us plenty of time, even before June 28th. And then we have the discussion where everyone can be there, can hear what was said, can hear everyone's input on it, and then we're not having to have 4-6 copies of an ordinance trying to get the right number. Let's just figure out what we want to do, if anything, on Tuesday, and then bring it back on separate business. Is that?
It would be June 12th,
so
the following Tuesday.
Well, we need 10 days, wouldn't we? So we'd have to do this 19th.
Yes. Bring it June 5th for discussion, and then you'll table it, consider it, and possibly vote on it. What day?
It would be June 19th, which puts it in effect June 29th, which is after the 28th. So
we need to also, in our communication in a public meeting, be clear on when it takes effect. So if we notify by June 28th, it is a year past next June 28th. Tell me again what the timing is. The timing on this isn't what it sounds like. It's not like 1 year here. It's a year past the date you pass the ordinance that it takes
effect. After the date of the effectiveness.
Right, the effective date.
That's what I'm looking for.
That's what the statute says.
Yes. So
I don't have it in front of me. I'd have to look at it, but I'm fairly certain.
We'll want to know that, because people are going to have an expectation that next year there aren't going to be so much fireworks. And it won't become effective in that time period, I don't think.
So
can we notice it for the 13th, even if we don't have its absolute final form? So we can discuss it on the 6th and pass it on the 13th. So
discuss
we
it on the 5th.
So the first public hearing is on the 5th.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I've got that down.
Yeah, and then the next day, we can talk about it at council time. And then the next, wherever we can schedule the next, would be... It's two weeks, though, right?
For well, that's the question.
Days.
Could they?
Oh, you could announce. Yeah, you could notice it ahead of time. Yeah.
We can notice it ahead of time, knowing that there's. Yeah. I mean, sounds like there's agreement on some kind of change.
Yeah.
I'll look at all that.
Or could you just continue the hearing to the next week?
You might be able to do that. I'll research.
Okay.
I mean, I think the intent that we're all agreeing on is that we want to be able to have this in a very public setting, but not have to have final language ready to go on the 5th.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. That's what I would hope, that we would take public input and take that into account when we make a decision about what options are available to us and what direction we decide going forward.
So how many people responded to the survey?
Over 7,600.
That's right. I just wanted to remind us of those kind of numbers. So it's possible... Sometimes people are satisfied that they've done a survey and that they have their input. This is likely or possibly going to have a really big draw from people.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we need to figure that we're going to have hours, potentially mm-hmm. hours of testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you can turn off the spigot once it starts. So, I mean, I think we have to plan for that potential
mm-hmm.
in our timing. And a lot of times where there is a lot of public testimony, you if there are new things that come up, you're maybe not going to reach a conclusion that day. You may need, in fact, to continue it till the next Tuesday.
We'll take a look at the timing issues, and I'll talk with John a little bit more, make sure that we're getting you what you need ahead of time,
and we'll
plenty of time.
Put it on for council time next week, so if there's any questions you or John have, we can get those.
Well, okay. We should have something, at least the rudimentary part of it worked out.
Okay, so
thank you.
This is gone for now. Thank you, Bill. So, task forces, commissions, and boards. Any updates? Okay, we're going to skip that. Policy issues from Lindsay.
A couple of things. The Freight Rail Dependent Use Advisory Committee, their next meeting is tonight at 6 o'clock. They're going to start looking at the particular uses. They sent out a kind of a homework assignment for all of the committee members to say whether or not they thought a particular use, they had a whole list of them, should be an allowable use or not. Staff has compiled all of those results, and they'll talk about those at the meeting tonight.
Location of that meeting?
It's at the Casey Center. So. And on 149th, the Corrections Facility Advisory Committee had their next or their most recent meeting yesterday. That went well. The group just talked about, they had a presentation from WASPIC, the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs, talking about jails and other models around the states and around the country. And then they broke off into small groups and talked about kind of values and what other information that they would need going forward. And the facilitator will be working with Rick Bishop to get the answers so that the committee members have those particular pieces of information that they're looking for. We talked about last week about scheduling a meeting with the legislative delegation. That is set for June 4th. So everyone, with the exception of one, will be able to make it from the legislative delegation. So we'll be meeting them. I did send out a list of you to each of you of potential legislative items you may want to talk about. Just let me know if there's ones on that list you want to take off or if there's anything else that's not on the list you want to add for that meeting. The agricultural economic analysis, if we're going to go ahead with that, just let me know if you have any comments on the draft RFP.
I thought we were going to wait until we got the ag census next year.
Well, we could start it now, and the process for the study, that comes out, I believe, in May of 2019, so you could certainly start a study. This type of scope would likely take somebody 12 to 18 months, so you just wouldn't want to have such a narrow scope that then it would only be done in 3 to 6 months because you wouldn't have that.
Yeah, I'd want to make sure we don't duplicate what's in the ag census either. Use that as part of the
they
same tool.
They will use the data, right?
What format is that meeting going to be?
Which meeting?
The ag analysis that we want to start now.
There is no meeting scheduled. I just sent out a draft RFP.
Okay.
On email a couple weeks ago. Let me know. I can send another copy.
I'm sure it's in my inbox.
No worries. The other question, Councillor Quiring brought this up to me yesterday, and I know she and Councillor Bolt spoke about it, and both were okay with doing this, but June 6th, we currently have the VBLM work session scheduled with the BIA and the Contractors Association, and it's currently a 90-minute work session. Both groups will be using about 45 minutes of that. Councillor Quiring is wondering whether we can add a speaker. Somebody reached out to her, and that's Jerry Olson with the Responsible Growth Forum. And he asked if it would be possible to also come and speak during the work session. So kind of a twofold question. One, do we add him? And if so, two, kind of the minor question, do you expand the time or do you cut everyone else's time down to about 30 minutes?
Is he going to have that be fairly structured?
His presentation?
Yeah.
I would assume so. His presentation is going to be the same, would be the same as the others, which is, here are my thoughts on the assumptions used in the VBLM. Here's why I think the assumptions are inaccurate, or the ones that are accurate, and here's why, and here's what I see on the ground. So he does a lot of survey work, obviously, with Olson Engineering. So survey and development work.
Long time in the community.
Yep.
Good.
So would you want to add him?
I would want to make sure that he's coming on behalf of the Responsible Growth Forum and not in his role as a principal of one company. Because that opens the door to a lot of people with a lot of different ideas. So if he's coming in his capacity as, is he chair or coordinator or director?
It's sort of his own group.
He's the perpetual chair.
Yeah, would be a good way to put it.
But that group is a very interesting group.
And there's a mix of people.
Have you been
people,
there
yeah.
to address yeah. them? Yeah.
Right. So that would just be my only, making very clear that he's coming because of that forum, and it's not just because he does a lot of work in the county as one business, because I would really too. A lot of people that may want to come to work sessions and have half an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for me.
Okay. Thank you. We have no legislative briefing, so we have two executive sessions, is that correct? Regarding potential litigation, and we expect that will take about 30 minutes. Any action to come out of that?
Yes.
Potentially, there could be some action resulting from that executive session, so we will reconvene our board meeting
in... Acting chair, sorry, Jeannie.
Pardon me?
Acting chair, Jeannie, if I don't know.
Yeah.
Can we just a couple questions on personnel matters? Can we have just probably like 5 minutes, just one more on?
I'm sure we'll be able to add that on.
So we will add an additional 5 minutes to talk about personnel matters. So we will reconvene in about 30 minutes. And with that, we are adjourned into executive session for now.